This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about the foods of Pokemon.
Yes, it's so exciting.
It's
so exciting.
It is very exciting. It is very odd. This is a wonderful, terrible,
yes,
beautiful rabbit hole to have fallen into for a few days.
Yes, and I was laughing aloud researching this.
Oh, same.
And at some of the words, I was like, this is going to be so fun to say in attempted serious voice, or at least one where I'm just not laughing as,
yeah,
I read through this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so many of you have written in about this. There are so many fantastic puns in this universe.
Oh, absolutely. And in every language that it's published in, from what I understand, there are like slightly unique and ever increasingly weird puns. And so, we are talking about the English language ones here for the most part. But if there's something really spectacular in a different language, please write it and let us know.
Yes. Oh, please. My brothers were super into Pokemon. They had the cards and they watched the show and they played the games. And one of the only times I've seen my little brother cry was at the movies.
Oh.
Sorry, Bobby. He never listened, but was it Mewtwo? It was a very sad thing. And I have like flashbacks and nightmares of Pikachu because of Super Smash Brothers.
Okay.
My best friend Katie always played as Pikachu.
Oh.
And you'd hear that, Pika, Pika, and then you're on fire and you're dead.
Ugh. Wow.
Sorry, I went to
no,
a place.
No, you clearly did. It's okay. I never got into the show or the games growing up. It didn't come out until I was already in high school, so I was a little bit a little bit old for it at that point. Not that you're ever too old for it, because when Pokemon Go came out, I definitely started playing that with my friends. And I am still playing that, like, to this day. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have fond memories of being in Hawaii and wrangling you and super producer Dylan. You'd go off and play Pokemon Go. You'd be like, Annie, come on, please. Just 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. And I'd be like, oh, fine.
We were like in between places. We were like kind of waiting for something. And I was like, there's an Aerodactyl over there and I need one. So, you know, like we went on a little adventure. It was nice.
It was very nice and quite funny because this, you know, Lauren says this to me and I'm thinking, what is my life? And I will say the theme song, the Pokemon theme song has been a hit at work karaoke events to the point I request it every time.
Yeah.
And it brings down the house and super producers, I think it was Dylan or maybe Andrew, requested it the first time, and there's no looking back. I'm pretty sure we posted a Instagram video of us singing it on our stories.
Yeah, both of our super producers here on Saver, and also I believe super producer Paul gets really into it.
Yes. Oh yeah.
But yeah, no, it always oh my goodness, I just watched an episode of the cartoon for the very first time this past weekend. My friend Cody, who has played like all of the games, a shout out to them, by the way, because yeah, they typed up an entire dang list of food references in Pokemon for me and sat me down and showed me the heckin' Jelly Donuts episode of the cartoon series.
Viewing.
And and that was my first exposure to that thing outside of karaoke. But it's a catchy song. No pun intended. And, you know, I like our in-house version, which goes more to the extent of like, we're going to be our very okayest. Yeah. Pokemon. Something like that.
Yeah. Or certain lines are really shouted out to the rooftops and others are sort of like, it's excellent. I do miss that.
Oh, very much. Very, very much.
Yes. Well, okay, I guess we should get to our question.
Oh, gosh, so sure.
Yeah. Pokemon foods. What are they?
Well, Pokemon, backing up a step, is a media franchise that began with a pair of video games for the Nintendo Game Boy in 1996 and developed into a collectible card game that same year, an anime series a year later, then a manga and movies and more other video games and toys and a theme park and everything. The games and anime premiered in the United States in 98. The original video games are developed by a Japanese company called Game Freak, co-founded by Masuda Junichi and Tajiri Satoshi. They based the concept on kids going out and catching bugs or small fish or other animals as part of play. And yeah, that's what the core of the games are about. Pokemon is a portmanteau of pocket monsters taken as English loanwords in the Japanese loanword alphabet katakana, Poketo Monsuta. So yeah, Pokemon. And yeah, in the games, yeah, you go find these creatures and you capture them and you train them and you fight them against other creatures and you trade them and feed them. And I guess sometimes cook them and eat them. Sometimes. I mean, like there's over 800 species. Some of them have to be edible and tasty, right?
It's just science.
And this franchise is a big deal. According to the company, they have shipped over 368 million copies of their video games. 368 million.
Wow.
In 9 languages over the past 25 years. We are in the 25th anniversary of Pokemon right now. And yeah, that puts the franchise second only to Mario in terms of titles sold. And I'm pretty sure that Pokemon has made a lot more money. So, whoof.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. Also, 30.4 billion trading cards in 13 languages, over 1,000 episodes of the still ongoing anime, 1 billion downloads of the mobile game Pokemon Go, aforementioned. It's bigger than I realized.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I mean, remember when and you still see this sometimes when those like marquees, that's not really the word, but over the road would be like, don't drive and play Pokemon Go. Like, it's just weird to see this game, like in that like government sense of like, don't play it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, Pokemon Go tells you not to play and drive. Like, that is explicitly not what you're supposed to do. Although I have definitely seen here in Georgia, we've got a hands-free law in cars. And so a lot of people have little gadgets on their dashboard that you can pop your phone into for touch-free interaction with it. And I've definitely seen other cars with Pokemon Go up on their screen.
Yep.
Always gives me a good chuckle. Just like there is a fandom is what we're saying.
Oh, yes. And when you're looking at food, the internet is rife with Pokemon-themed recipes.
Oh, yeah.
And there have been many product tie-ins with Pokemon over the years, like Baskin-Robbins's Pikachu ice cream cake.
There was this whole spate of things that were released right around the release of one of the films in the U.S. in the year 2000, Pop-Tarts with bright yellow frosting and Pokemon-shaped sprinkles on top. The four shapes that they came in were Pikachu, Charmander, Chansey, and Poliwrath, which seems like an odd combination to me. But anyway, there was cereal with marshmallows. Those were Pikachu, Ditto, Oddish, and Poliwhirl. I'm so confused by all of this. There was canned pasta in tomato sauce from Heinz. There were Eggo waffles. Just a lot of things.
I love this. And then the Pokemon Cafe opened in Tokyo in 2018. The pictures of the foods and drinks offered there are amazing. Like, honestly, really awesome. Every item ties to a Pokemon character. Mm-hmm. You've got things like the Hearty Pikachu Plate, which was a small salad, fried potatoes in the shape of a star, fried shrimp, hamburger steak, and a rice omelet shaped like Pikachu. Obviously. Jigglypuff's musical cheesecake, Gastly's mince cutlet burger, and the Gengar smoothie. Huh. Everything about this is excellent.
Huh.
I chose the last two because they were like Halloween spooky themes.
Yeah, those are ghost Pokemon.
Which is another I want to know about ghost Pokemon.
Oh, we're gonna talk about some of them.
Okay, excellent.
Oh, yeah. It is a surprisingly to me like dark and strange world.
Yes.
I read the descriptions of some of these dudes and I'm like, this is a children's franchise. Like, that's messed up.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about some of these messed up elements.
We will. But first, we are going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And, okay, so while this is a fictional universe... uh-huh. Many non-fictional foods do feature in it, and we wanted to highlight some of those key examples.
Uh-huh.
Starting with, yes, Brock's famous jelly-filled donuts.
Yeah.
Which, yes, key viewing for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we talked about these, actually, in our jelly donuts episode. So looking at these... you might think they look like Japanese rice balls or onigiri. However, 4Kids Television Network was worried Western audiences wouldn't recognize this Japanese food or associated primarily with Japanese cuisine, perhaps. So in the English dub, they called them jelly donuts. And this went on to become an infamous meme.
Yeah, it's not that they call them that once and then move along. Like, this is a running, like, this is like part of the structure of the episode. And so they say it like 9 times. Like, and everyone, like this character who made them, who's called Brock in the dub, is all like, oh man, I made some jelly donuts. Nothing's better than jelly donuts. Would you like some of my famous jelly donuts? And everyone's like, oh man, I love jelly donuts. And then later they're like, oh, I wish I had some jelly donuts.
Pika pika.
These donuts are great. Jelly filled are my favorite. Nothing beats a jelly filled donut.
And it gets funnier every single time it happens. Because it is clearly a rice ball wrapped in seaweed. And like some of the character, like some of the shots, like they've bitten into it and you can see the little umeboshi, the little pickled plum inside. Like there's no universe in which this looks like a jelly donut is what I'm saying. Anyway.
I feel like I've seen it. I think you really captured it, Lauren. Yeah, it did. It went on to become a very, very infamous meme. And it did inspire numerous recipes for the donuts, including one created by Binging with Babish. And also recipes for Brock's rice balls.
Yeah, he created two recipes, one for the donuts and one for the rice balls. It's pretty sweet.
And then, kind of related, malasadas, which are our type of fried donut, usually coated in sugar, sometimes filled. You can see our episode from our Hawaii miniseries we did on them for more information. Pokemon also eat these, and people in this universe also eat these. They're healing. And I agree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we had some really, really, really good ones out in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And the world of Pokemon is sort of like a parallel universe Earth. And there are several world regions that bear similarity to Earth regions. And one of them is sort of parallel to Hawaii. It's called Alola.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's also Brock's stew, which is a common stew that this character Brock cooks up in the Pokemon universe. There's no recipe or real indication of what exactly it entails. The internet is rife with recipes, though, from chowders to creamy soups.
And if I understand correctly, this was another kind of purposeful mistranslation in the cartoon series, because it when you look at it, it's like clearly a cream-based dish. It looks like maybe like a kind of curry. Like it's meant to be like a curry rice kind of situation. But they just, the dub is like, this is beef stew. Would you like some beef stew?
It sounds like they're kind of trying to mess with your head. Like, you know, like a subliminal message. Like, no, this is beef stew.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that honestly trip me out really hard about all of this.
I think I can see like a Black Mirror episode.
Oh, no.
Where you're just like constantly being told that your truths you held to be true are not true at all.
We're all being slowly gaslit into oblivion by Pokemon. Okay. I never saw that one coming.
But you should have.
I guess I should have.
On brand for us. We've gotten to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
If you never hear from us again, you'll know.
You'll know why. Yeah. Yeah. Pokemon Game Freak got to us finally. a couple of those dishes are our home cooked dishes within the Pokemon universe. But there are restaurants in the world of Pokemon, a number of them that appear across various games. And eating at them involves battling other trainers or the staff.
Oh,
yeah.
Can't just eat at the restaurant. You've got to.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. So. I believe from the games Sun and Moon, you can visit the battle buffet in Alola, and you like browse the dishes offered. And if you choose one on this buffet that another trainer wants, they will battle you for it. And at the end of your dining experience, your waitress will give you a satisfaction score based on how many dishes you got and their quality. And these satisfaction scores, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I have questions, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and these satisfaction scores range from you look totally unsatisfied, like your body and mind are both still hungry, at the low end, to you have the look of someone whose belly is full of delicious goodies at the top end.
So, okay. I mean, this isn't too far off from a buffet in our real world, correct? I've seen some throwdowns.
Sure.
But I don't think I've ever, you as the consumer of food gets rated. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And apparently there is a replay bonus that if you've played through the game and you go back, it includes a woman who is known as the buffet queen, and she shows
wow.
up. And if you can get a perfect satisfaction score while she's there, she will name you the new buffet queen or king.
Too much responsibility.
I know, you know. The dishes that appear there include a steak, some ramen, some sushi, and a number of other things that I will get back to in a minute. I believe in the game Pokemon Stadium, there's a mini game set in a conveyor belt sushi restaurant, you know?
Uh-huh.
Where Lickitungs, which is a type of poke dude, they compete to eat the most sushi off of the belt.
Baby Joe!
They've got these long, long, long tongues. So, yeah. In another game, I think it's in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, you can visit the Mauville food court in Hoenn, which is based on Japan's main island. You in this game, you order food from one of the food court's three counters and then take a seat at a table to wait for your meal. And other trainers will come and challenge you for your seat while you wait.
What? No.
Again, this is pretty close to real life. Like, I've seen this happen.
That is true. That
yeah.
Is.
Mm-hmm. I believe the three restaurants there are a sandwich shop, a French place, a French cafe, and a ramen shop. And I think from the same games, you can also visit four different restaurants in Lumiose City in Kalos, which is based on Paris, France. And in these games, every dish that you order has a specific amount of cooking time, like a number of game turns necessary for the dish to come out perfectly. And so your server will challenge you to a game with exactly that many turns. And the quality of the dish will therefore depend on whether you can meet this time challenge.
This is a lot of, like, it seems if I just want to eat a food, very difficult to do in this world.
I know, right? This all seems very stressful to me, personally. But
yeah.
I'm thinking about how mad I am when I'm hungry. And
well, then, yeah, you might be a contender, as they say. you could be the buffet queen. Someone's got to do it. I'm imagining a Mandalorian spinoff where, like, the Mandalore is like the buffet lore or something.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And,
yeah.
You know, instead of the Darksaber, mm-hmm. it's like a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, this is what I would be in this universe.
Yes.
I would rule over the buffet with an iron gauntlet. Well, I did want to put in here that the names of these four, like, French-ish restaurants in this game, in order of quality from lowest to highest, are Restaurant Le Na, Restaurant Le Ya, Restaurant Le Wow, and the Sushi High Roller.
It's kind of a pivot.
Yeah.
But
I like
appreciated it.
It.
Yeah. Remember, Lauren and I were having this conversation the other day with our friend Joe McCormick about, like, key points in universes that you can tell your universe because it has never been said before in any other universe. It creates this, like,
like a singularity, right? You're just like, nope, that's it right there.
That is this universe. I feel like a lot of sentences in this are giving me that vibe of, like, this has never been said before.
Anywhere
in this
else.
Context.
Yes. This combination of words is unique to this situation. And it's
yes.
so true.
Like a podcast fingerprint is what's happening for our universe.
Oh.
And it's only going to get weirder because now we're going to talk about some Pokemon byproducts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, humans in this world also eat Pokemon byproducts like Moo Moo milk from a mill tank, which can be also made into Moo Moo cheese,
mm-hmm.
or the allegedly more nutritious and protein-packed Chansey eggs.
Yeah, Chansey and Blissey's eggs, you can eat them. Their signature move, by the way, is soft boiled.
I'm having such a hard time from not laughing.
This is
wonderful.
Yeah, one of the or a couple of the dishes you can get at the aforementioned Battle Buffet include a Chansey egg omelet and a Miltank cheese pizza. There's also a dish there that's called a Vanillite Parfait, and I'm unsure whether it's made out of vanillites or if it just looks like one, because Vanillite is this Pokemon made of ice that, like, just happens to have this kind of head shape or covering that looks like vanilla soft serve. But from what I understand, it's not made of soft serve. It's made of ice.
Well, you could get shave ice, though.
I have not witnessed,
to your knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That occur. But now I'm pretty sure that there is a toy out there that is that is this thing. Oh, and one of the dishes at restaurant Le Ya is a blue cheese made from the milk or venom of a female arbok, which is a type of snake.
Ah, yes. That's another fun thing, since neither you or I are very familiar with this world. I did look up pictures of all of the Pokemon we were talking about, and that was a good chuckle as well.
Yeah, yeah. If you need a description, most of what we mention in here, I'm familiar enough with to describe. So if you need me to.
I think I might.
Oh, no. What have I offered myself for? Yeah, but no, I mean, apparently there are lots of edible byproducts that come from Pokemon. There's a thing called a snover that sort of looks like a snow-covered tree. And I guess it grows nuts under the branch-type appendages on its belly. Tropius grows edible berries. Not sure about that guy. Octillery ink is edible. Yeah, mm-hmm. A little octopus dude, yeah. Combi and Vespiquen both make honey. And Skiddo milk, which is a plant-based milk, can be used to make snacks.
Okay. I think I got so stuck on the snow. I got stuck on the very first thing you said of growing nuts on its belly. But I'm catching up now. All right, all right, all right. Then there's the extremely awkward looking turtle named Shuckle.
Uh-huh.
According to the Pokédex, quote, hides under rocks, keeping its body concealed inside its shell while eating stored berries. The berries mix with its body fluids to become a juice, and that this juice is, quote, delicious.
That is what I said when Cody said that to me. I was like, oh, really?
Questions. many questions. I guess that's a good segue into what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
Which is Pokemon as a food. Because, yes, it seems humans do eat Pokemon, and that perhaps some Pokemon eat other Pokemon.
I think so, yeah.
Or parts of them, at least. Mm-hmm. So, for example, humans can purchase Slowpoke Tail, both peppered on salad and in quiche form, or dried in Alolan stews, spiced, which might involve simmering a Slowpoke until the tail falls off. And, yeah, these tails can be very expensive. Prices. And
high-cost item, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also implied that they are sometimes sucked on, like maybe honeysuckle or something, instead of straight eaten.
So Slowpokes are this kind of, it's like a smooth, pink otter looking creature, sort of like a chubby pink otter.
All right.
And they apparently use their own tails as fishing lures, so I guess it follows that those tails are tasty. And this has been like a kind of confusing point throughout several games and or other bits of the franchise. Like, apparently the removal and black market sale of Slowpoke tails was at first a money-making scheme by the evil Team Rocket and the cause of much outrage. But the tails do grow back pretty quickly, and like Slowpokes are kind of not smart enough to feel pain. And like later,
talking on the Slowpoke.
And like later, it became more widely accepted as a foodstuff. And in Alola, their tails just like fall off anyway, so it's okay. I don't really understand the full.
Dang.
another dish at restaurant Le Ya is a bracciola of Slowpoke tail. So there you go.
Fancy.
Right. Right. Wow.
There's a vivid fantasy among human characters about cooking a Magikarp. So, you know, That implies that perhaps they eat it, but maybe not.
Or maybe they just really want to and they're like, oh man, that buddy. Maybe it's like when I go to the aquarium and I feel bad thinking about what all of the fish would taste like.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Farfetch'd. The Pokédex entry for Farfetch'd reads, a wild duck Pokémon. Farfetch'd makes a delicious meal, especially when cooked with leek. Because of this, Farfetch'd is nearly extinct. And we talked about Farfetch'd in our Scallion Green Onions episode.
Because this Pokémon is, right, it's this duck Pokémon that's carrying a leek. And it's based on this saying in Japanese, which translates something to the extent of like, it's lucky if a duck crosses your path carrying its own leek, meaning that like ducks are delicious, leeks are delicious, duck leek soup is delicious. So if like a duck just wanders by you and it's already carrying a leek, that's heckin' great fortune. That's a good day.
Yeah. One less step for you, two birds, one stone, as they say.
Hey.
However, the Farfetch'd situation is a bit different in the Gawler region, which is UK-based, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Where Sirfetch'd, which is an evolution of Farfetch'd, will come for you if you even think about it. Think about putting this precious duck-based Pokemon with a leek into soup. And Sirfetch'd is a bird with a huge scallion sword. It's like bigger than he is.
Yeah.
And a vegetable shield of some sort. Highly recommend looking at pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Very stern looking. I would not want to mess with that
Hilarious.
Duck. No.
Yes. Hilariously angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't want to mess with it either.
It's also a possibility that I couldn't confirm this, but it's a possibility that sometimes Miltanks, which are a cow Pokemon, are sometimes made into hamburgers.
I like this. Mm-hmm. Couldn't confirm. We need more fact checkers on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We need the best minds. Let's talk about Kingler and the Pokemon it evolved from, Krabby. It's never explicitly confirmed that humans eat these lobster crab-looking Pokemon, but there is a dish in Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it's implied in the original anime that Krabby are for eating and fighting.
There's definitely images out there of, like, soups or stews that just objectively have Krabby parts sticking out of them, so.
Yeah, and the name, you know, Krabby, I believe, is a pun on this very crabby, grouchy creature Pokemon and fights a lot, but can also perhaps be eaten. People also eat the meat found inside the punching glove-like claws of the crab brawler, perhaps. quote, what little meat they contain is rich and delicious. That's from the Pokédex.
Sure.
Yeah. Clownchers. Claws are eaten too, but their claws fall off naturally, so perhaps no Pokemon was harmed in that one. Crawdance used to be eaten, but apparently folks decided that they tasted bad and smelled bad too, so good for the crawdance. Perhaps.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know how it feels about it. I wouldn't presume to say.
It's wise. We shouldn't do that. Then there's Sharpedo. According to the Pokédex, quote, it has a sad history. In the past, its dorsal fin was a treasured foodstuff. So this Pokémon became a victim of overfishing.
You know, I like that there is like sustainable outlooks on fishery within the Pokémon universe. I'm glad that they're thinking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then there's Beraskewa, which... Yes, does look like a barracuda. Here's the entry from the Pokédex on this one. Beraskewa's flesh is surprisingly tasty. Another fish-type Pokémon, Basculin, is eaten on a larger scale, quote, a common food source. Then there are Gabite scales. So the Gabite is like a dragon thing, and its scales apparently grant restorative properties when eaten and are used for other medicinal properties too. However, Gabites naturally molt their scales, so maybe they are not harmed in the process either.
Sure, yeah. I believe Cedra scales are also used in traditional medicine. Okay, and now we're getting into the dessert and cafe section. Mm-hmm. okay, so I am given to understand that there is a cotton candy Pokemon called Swirlix, which evolves into a Slurpuff, which Cody described as a sentient meringue.
That actually sounds terrifying to me. That sounds like some, you know, what is it called in D&D? Those globs, gelatinous cube. Sentient meringue is something that you could encounter in a D&D.
I'm honestly a little weirded out by meringue to begin with. And so, yeah, this sounds like the stuff of nightmares. And now I am pretty sure you're going to use that knowledge against me in a future game of D&D. Great.
Never give the Dungeon Master ideas.
Never do it, y'all.
And then Appletons. Some of you listeners have written in about this one. I adore this. So it's one of the evolutions of Applin, the other being Flapple. Flapple.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Appleton also first appeared in Sword and Shield, and it looks straight up like a pie. The Pokédex entry for it reads, "Its body is covered in a sweet nectar, and the skin on its back is especially yummy. Children used to have it as a snack." Yikes.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
I know. It's terrifying. I can just imagine children, like, ripping off the skin of this poor sweet pie.
I hope it, like, molts naturally. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, then we have the Milcery, which is a cream blob Pokemon that evolves into Alcremie, which is a, again, Cody described it as a whipped cream homunculus. And to evolve this guy, you personally have to spin around and then strike a pose. And the flavor of the Alcremie that you wind up with depends on the time of day that you do this and the length and direction of the spin, plus what kind of food it's holding at the time.
Wow.
And that is already a lot. But then Cody said out loud to me, as though it were a thing that people just say, it never stops producing cream.
Oh. This is like a horror movie. It's like The Ring.
I don't you understand? It never stops producing cream.
It's terrifying.
It apparently uses this cream defensively. Like, when attacked, it will throw cream at its opponent. And if the opponent should eat the cream, it soothes it until the opponent doesn't even want to fight anymore.
Oh. My brain is struggling so hard to comprehend all of this, but it's excellent. Whipped cream homunculus.
Yeah. Yep.
Tell Cody thank you.
Oh,
for all of this.
I already did. I will add your thanks to the thanks pile.
Yes. This is please. Oh, wow. Then there's Cheruby, Cheruby, which is basically a cute little cherry with an even littler cherry sleeping on its head. And this littler cherry is described in the Pokédex as sweet and tasty. Okay, but this is where it gets crazy. This baby head is where the Cheruby's nutrients comes from, so it can't survive without it. So if you take it, you're leaving poor Cheruby to die a slow death.
But it's tasty.
I mean, apparently, because both Pokemon and people eat it, so.
Oh, wow. Okay, then there are Sinisty and Poltegeist, which
oh, yes.
are black tea Pokemon that possess teacups and teapots, respectively. Synestea can drain your life force if you drink it, but apparently it tastes really bad. So, like, generally that doesn't happen. You, like, usually spit it out pretty fast. Poltegeist, on the other hand, tastes really good, but it only lets trusted trainers drink it.
What?
And it can cause indigestion if you drink too much. So watch out for that.
What?
Furthermore, y'all, both come in two forms, antique and phony. And you can tell the two apart by seeing whether there's an authenticity mark on the bottom. So there are both genuinely produced, which are rarer, and phony, haunted teacups and teapots that you can drink the Pokemon out of.
So does that imply that the haunting is not real? It's a phony haunting?
No, it's a real haunting, but it's a phony piece of china.
Oh, I'm glad we cleared that up then. The haunting is real.
The haunting is quite real.
Got it. Got it. Don't want to drink too much. No indigestion. Understood.
Yeah. And I will say that the hardest I laughed while doing this reading was at this pair of Kotaku headlines. The first was, "Poltegeist is made out of tea and you shouldn't drink it." And the second is, "Stop telling me to drink the new tea Pokemon, Nintendo." These were like 2 months apart. And I just like felt the like increasing desperation on the part of Kotaku.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The second hardest I laughed I had to put in here is when I realized that there is a legit article about the food politics of Pokemon in the magazine Modern Farmer.
Wow, and Modern Farmer.
Right?
All right, okay.
It's all these questions about, like, sustainability and, like, responsibility and, like, ethics of eating these sentient beings.
That's some nerdery I would pull.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've written about the economy of a fantasy world once, and my friends were like, "You've got to stop." But I have questions. Speaking of, we have some more questions.
We do. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. And so we do frequently take a quick break during our ad breaks and just have a little bit of a chat. And in this one, y'all, producer Andrew, who by the way, referred to before we started recording today, Pokemon as being his childhood crystallized. So yes, grew up with these games in this show and wanted to make sure that we mentioned the Pokemon Bounce Suite because this is a Pokemon from the Alolan area that resembles a mangosteen, which we have talked about on the show. And in doing a quick Google about this, I discovered that they're often used as living air fresheners because they smell so sweet and that they are, in fact, too sweet for human consumption, but its sweat is sometimes used to make a juice.
Sweat juice.
That is what I have been given to understand from the internet. And
Perhaps it's best to leave it at that.
I think we should move on.
Yes. Although I have to say we're not necessarily moving into safer territory.
That is absolutely accurate.
Yeah. Because now we wanted to discuss the diets of Pokemon.
Oh, right. Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Do they include other Pokemon? This has long been a mystery at the forefront of Pokemon scholars' minds. Generally, as makes sense because, you know, when you're talking about, like, game mechanics, food fed to Pokemon serves as a curative or a stats enhancer. Many real-world foods make an appearance in their diet. Lots of berries and fictional foods as well. There is a definite Pokemon food chain in place. Yeah, while most Pokemon appear to be omnivores, others eat insects and Pidgey eggs and caterpie.
That's a type of caterpillar. Yeah, yeah.
Berries
do seem to be the most common food for Pokemon. You can harvest or grow them in different games. They usually, right, have some kind of health or other effect on Pokemon. There are, like, over 60 different kinds of berries. There is a berry dex. many are based on real-world fruits. Pokemon berry parallels to foods that we have covered on the show include the Persim berry, the nanub berry, the pineapple berry, durin berry,
got it,
pasho berry, and the Merkel berry. Or Mickleberry. Michaelberry? Anyway. And apparently in some games, the types of berries will correspond to improvement scores in particular categories. So like dry berries add to a Pokemon's beauty. Spicy berries add to a Pokemon's coolness factor. Sweet berries add cuteness. Bitter berries impart smartness. And sour berries impart toughness. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And in some games, you can combine them to make different, more advanced food items or medicines.
Right. And then there's Brock's homemade Pokemon food, which sort of looks like a dry pet food. Prior to the introduction of berries, Pokemon food was implied to be the main food source for Pokemon, although berries are an ingredient in this. And like pet food in all real world, they are designed to be, this food is designed to be tasty and healthy. It is edible by humans as well, particularly trainers and breeders. They'll taste it to test how good it is, the texture. And Brock is known for making some of the best Pokemon food in a variety of flavors. Yes. Then there are Poke Blocks. And these are candies made of mixed berries that come in a handful of flavors and, yes, raise some stats when eaten. And then there are Poffins, which is a combo of the words Pokemon and muffins. This food item debuted in Generation 4, and they are these sort of bun-looking things that increase, you'd feed to a Pokemon to increase the chance of a Pokemon winning a battle. They're made of berries and come in sweet and sour flavors, and Lord help me, there is a formula involved, which is L equals 60 capital B over T minus parentheses lowercase b plus S, where capital B is the base level, is the time taken in seconds, lowercase v is the number of burns, and S is the number of spills. Guaranteed to boost a Pokemon in at least one of five categories. Yes, tough, beauty, cool, smart, and cute. Math formula is so good. And then there are Poke Puffs. These cake-like items are meant to up a Pokemon's affection for you. Yeah. And thus can unlock special bonuses for the player. Players can win these in Pokemon minigames in Generation 6. Flavors include sweet, mint, mocha, spice, wish, honor, along with seasonal varieties. And there is a Poke Puff baking contest in the anime, from what I understand.
Also, from what I understand, there are Poke Beans that you can send your Pokemon to mine on this island called the Isle of Beans.
Isle of Beans. I see what you did there.
I don't know, you guys.
And then there's Rare Candy. These sugary treats boost a Pokemon's energy without battle or daycare and raise their level by one. Again, like, I feel that depending on the games.
Oh, yeah. A lot of these appear in many different games and many different capacities. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Curry. So many types of curry. 151 types, in fact. And making it is a mini game. And depending on the result, it can boost one or some of your Pokemon stats. It's popular in Galar, which is, essentially the UK.
And you can make it by combining different berries and also other ingredients, like sausages, different types of tinned foods, bread, pasta, mixed mushrooms, smoked poke tail, large leeks, brittle bones, instant noodles. So you choose your berries, you choose your base ingredient, which is one of these, and then there are three steps. You fan the flames, you fan the cooking flames. You give the pot a good stirring, and then you put your heart into it. Those are the three steps.
Okay.
And yes, there is a curry dex to help you figure out what types of curry you make. And they'll wind up, like bitter, sour, sweet, or whatever. So you can get like a bitter coconut curry or a spicy toast curry. And yes, that smoked poke tail is definitely slowpoke tail. And you can definitely make slowpoke tail curry and then feed it to your slowpoke. So...
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
Hard agree.
That's messed up.
It's a sick, sad world.
Oh, apparently. Oh my gosh. This is like, I'm such a, when you have those games that have the moral choice that you have to make, I can't, like, even if it's a video game, I'm like, never will I step on this flower or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And my brothers were always like, oh, I'm going to stomp that flower out.
Well,
feels like this slowpoke thing.
one of those. Yeah.
But let's end it on a less dark note.
Yes, let's.
And talk about Pikachu's ketchup. Apparently, Pikachu is a huge ketchup fan.
Ketchup.
Ketchup?
And has cried actual tears when ketchup is taken from him. As a fellow fan?
I was about to say I love this because, Annie, I feel like you can probably relate.
I can. I don't know if I've ever cried when someone took my ketchup away, but I doubt they would even dare to do such a thing. In 2000, Heinz even released a limited edition ketchup bottle that featured Pikachu on it.
Well, there you go.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're synonymous with a food. Like, that's if I ever get my face on peanut butter or something, that's like the equivalent.
That would be beautiful.
One day, goals.
One day, yeah.
I just got to follow in Pikachu's footsteps, even though I'm traumatized by his battle cry. Well, this has been a weird, wacky, wild, but very fun adventure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just feel increasingly tripped out by all of this. Like, none of this doesn't make me feel tripped.
yeah there were things that I was saying out loud and my brain was like, are you sure that's a sentence? Like, I think it's a sentence that makes sense.
And I am positive that there is stuff that we again, as we both said at the top, you know, like, neither of us are like poke experts. We might have mispronounced things or missed your favorite things or something like that. So if we did that, then please do write in and let us know. But in the meanwhile, we do have some listener mail for you.
We do. And I tripped us up with the ad breaks today. So we're going right into it.
We are. But do you have prepared a...
Oh, it's obvious. It's obvious, Lauren. Here we go.
Okay, well, so it is time for...
Listener mail. I knew that was going to be a hard one.
I wasn't going to try to... I was like, oh, I know what's coming, but with the lag in our internet connection, I'm never going to be able to... Yeah, anyway. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, Lauren. There was a whole, like, move with
there
it.
There was.
Oh my. Lisa wrote, as someone who grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, I've always loved Pennsylvania Dutch food, but I now live in Washington State where I can rarely get it. So I did want to mention that, in my opinion, Scrapple is best enjoyed with syrup. So if and when you ladies try it, don't forget it. Also, the main reason I emailed today was your saffron episode. I've always associated saffron with saffron rice, but another food I always had growing up was chicken corn soup, which my mom made, and it was the best. I tried to make it on my own one time, and it was awful. I later found out that the key to a good chicken corn soup is saffron.
Oh.
Also, if you ladies ever do a Pennsylvania Dutch food episode, definitely look into the debate of dumplings versus no dumplings in your chicken corn soup. It is a big matter of debate in the area.
Ooh, I love a dumpling debate. Okay.
I do too. Okay. And I have no doubts that it is. I've never heard of chicken corn soup, but it sounds good to me.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what particular type that is. I've had soups that had both chicken and corn in them, but
right.
But well, wasn't we'll this type of chicken corn soup? I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to get to the bottom of it.
We shall. Joe wrote, I was so delighted to listen to your haggis episode, especially when you mentioned Burns Night. It reminded me of graduate school at Durham University in the UK, and my favorite college formal, Ustinov College represent, Burns Night. There were bagpipes and recitations of Robert Burns poetry, of course, and speeches like a toast to the laddies and the lassies, in which there was much gentle roasting of the opposite sex. All toasts were done with whiskey or iron brew. The whiskey was very strong, and as an American, I rather expected the iron brew to taste like orange soda. Spoiler alert, it did not. There was even a ceilidh after the dinner. A ceilidh has a traditional dance and music, which has often been compared to a fight as much as a dance. Can confirm, there's lots of swinging in circles and flinging your partner to the next person. It's so much fun and a great way to burn off all the calories from the dinner. On to the food. Because it was a formal, we had the usual soup course, main course, and dessert course. Since it was Burns Night, we had an additional haggis course in between the soup and the main. It was the first time I'd ever had haggis, so I was excited but also full of trepidation. I was so pleasantly surprised. No weird texture at all and full of spices, which is not something you got during a formal dinner at uni in the UK. It was so good, in fact, that I was tempted to ask for another serving of haggis rather than endure the roast beef main course, which was dry and uninspired in comparison. After that, I made it a point to try haggis whenever I could. There was a pub in Edinburgh where I had it prepared like scrapple, crisp on the outside and practically melt in your mouth in the center. Delicious.
Oh, that sounds like such a good time.
Right? Oh, all of that sounds amazing.
Yes. Yes. Food, so good. We've got to get to one of these celebrations, Lauren.
We genuinely do. That is right. There is poetry and toasting and haggis.
Bagpipes? Come on.
Dancing? Come on.
Dancing. So.
Aggressive dancing. That's the only kind I'm good at.
Excellent. Fit right in. Thanks so much to both of those listeners for writing. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can go to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks so much to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.